Welcome to church this morning. If we have not had the pleasure of meeting, I am Benjamin. If you were watching any college football yesterday, and some of those games were blowouts, you might have seen like the third string quarterback. So that's me. So Pastor Drew and Pastor Leon, both gone this weekend. But the third string quarterback is going to try to do my best here. And it's my privilege to bring the word this morning. But the only announcement this morning is that there is no Rule of Life class tonight. So if you've been tracking along with us the last 3 weeks, we're taking a break tonight, and we'll see you again next week. And if you haven't been tracking with us, but you want to start tracking with us, you can. All the classes are up on the podcast and is working now, so you could listen back to the 3 weeks over the next week and then come join us next week. And we're having a great time and really getting into some neat discussions and rhythms and prayer, and it's just been really transformative, even in my own life as I've been teaching the class. So that is the only announcement. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to read some scripture, try to get this thing to come to a height that I can see, and then pray and jump right in. So we are in the book of Mark this morning, and we have been in John. Maybe I'll take this over. And this is going to be the NIV. And I'm going to read out of the ESV, so if that's confusing to you, some of the words won't match up. I am reading something different. So if you have that thought, and you're like, what is he reading? I'm reading something different. So Mark chapter 7, 1 through 8, then we're going to jump to 14 and 15, and then jump again to 21 and 23, but you'll be able to hopefully track along with me here. And the word of the Lord says, "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who'd come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands?' And he said to them, 'Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men.'" And then in verse 14, he called to the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going into them can defile them, but the things that come out of a person are what defile them. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful to have an opportunity to come together each Sunday in community and worship you through prayer, through the reading of your word, and through song. And God, we pray that in this moment, as we dive into your word and the scripture, that you would use this time to reorient our hearts to you. That God, the words that you've written and words that you directly said through your son Jesus would permeate our hearts and minds this morning, and we would leave different than we came. God, we pray for all of those who are traveling and not able to be with us this week, that they would have safe travels and be with us again. And for our kids, Lord, we always remember to pray for them and the volunteers who are helping teach them and instruct them as well. And Lord, we'll see even in our text today how important that is to your heart, God. So we ask that you would honor us as stewards of these gifts. And Lord, I pray that any gaps in my communication would fade away. And in this moment, you would increase and I would decrease. And your word would be proclaimed with truth and sincerity. And that in all these things, we would bring glory and honor to your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you can go back with me a little bit in your mind, some farther than others, and think about cartoons. So watching cartoons, and maybe you've watched a cartoon, and in that cartoon, well, the main character was wrestling with some kind of moral dilemma, and there were two little angels on their shoulder, or maybe an angel and a devil, or themselves in black and themselves in white. Something like that. Does this recall? You seen this imagery? Well, this imagery actually has ancient Christian roots to a book between AD 140 and 150. And in this particular book, this idea was introduced that there were two angels and they made their way from the shoulder of the main character and into the heart, where there they battle it out for the will of the main character. And at some point in our lives, whether you've seen that image, that cartoon or not, you are familiar with this wrestle inside of you. You are familiar with this still small voice of your conscience that when you're thinking about doing something, might be whispering to you, that's a great idea. That's typically the devil. Or that's a horrible idea. That's typically the angel, or however you see that. But the reality is that, as Drew talked about last week, there are external forces, there are temptations and accusations of the devil which are coming at us, and we have to be on guard for those. But at the same time, there is an internal wrestle in every one of our hearts. And the battle is not just for the state of our heart, the battle is for the outward expression of our heart. And that is where Jesus is reorienting this conversation this morning. And so while last week we talked about the external, this week we're going to talk about the internal. And what we're going to see is that the battle is real. The struggle is real. It's happening in all of us. And so Jesus is calling us to a life of careful examination of the inward and outward life. And so our big idea this morning is that Jesus calls his followers to a careful examination of the inward and outward life. And that is what we'll see happening in this interaction this morning. So to give a little context on the story, because we've been jumping around a little bit in the lectionary, Jesus is, as usual here, we find him being questioned. And from time to time, the group who's questioning him changes, but Jesus doesn't really change his approach. He's always looking to reframe and reorient the conversation back to himself. And so sometimes it's a crowd, sometimes it's the disciples, sometimes it's other people's disciples. This time it is a group called the Pharisees, and these are religious leaders. Their big deal, or their kind of bend, is the law and oral traditions, or their own interpretations of the law. So that's what we hear them talking about this morning. And it's the same law that we read about in Deuteronomy, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But suffice it to say, the Pharisees are actually a lot like us. So they're a group of people trying to follow God by what they have as the written law, the first five books of the Bible, and their own interpretations of this law. And I say that because I think that we could come to a passage like this and we could be like, oh, I don't identify with anybody in here. I'm not like the Pharisees. I'm not a religious person. I'm not into tradition. But the reality is that all of us do exactly what they did. All of us question at some point, why doesn't someone else's faith or outworking of faith look like mine? Because that's really what they're doing here. And so we can identify with the Pharisees. And if we do identify with the Pharisees, then we have to hear what Jesus says back to them being said back to us. And the issue under the issue here is they want to know, what about your disciples' behavior demonstrates their devotion to God? Because what we do, this washing our hands, this cleaning these cups, this making sure the dining couches are good, this all shows that we follow the one true God. So what is it that they do that is their outward expression? They believe in their hearts that they're a holy people, that they're set apart unto God, and they want to know, why aren't your people behaving in this way? And the conversation at hand that Jesus engages in, and he's swift in his response. And he draws them back to the prophecy of Isaiah. And it's clear here that he is intending to rebuke their line of thinking. And may we hear him rebuking ours. Because ultimately what Jesus is saying is, you've actually left what God intended in that law, and you're behaving according to your own traditions. There's a matter of your heart that needs to be resolved in the outworking of your faith. And as much as we sometimes don't want to hear it, this can be said so much of our lives and our culture today. There's areas in all of our lives where we hold to a tradition or a way of doing things, and we sort of start to drift away from the actual heart of God. And though this can be hard for us to see at work in our lives, I pray that we would do that work this morning. Because I think what Jesus says in verses 14 and 15, and then in 21 and 23, is that he's focused on our hearts. I'll read it again. He called the people to him again and said, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." Otherwise, this is important. There's nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. And so Jesus is making it clear to them that the tradition in question, whether you're clean or unclean, is actually happening inside of you and not necessarily outside of you, or at least the priority needs to shift. Another way of saying this is the way we live out our faith or the way we live out our life generally is an output of what's happening inside of our heart, and we have to deal with that. And so how do we deal with that? We need an examination of the heart. We need to examine our hearts. And I believe that's what Jesus is calling us to this morning, a careful examination of our hearts. And so how do we do that? Well, in order to examine our hearts, we have to take a step back first and realize this very simple truth that our heart and God's heart do not begin in alignment. Our heart and God's heart do not begin in alignment. And if we can't acknowledge that, it doesn't make it not true, but we have to be able to acknowledge that if we're going to properly examine our hearts. And as we acknowledge the condition of our hearts, before we met Jesus, before by grace through faith we were saved, we can begin to examine our heart. In Ephesians 2, Paul gives a great description of ourself before we meet Jesus. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." And so what Paul's doing here, if you read the rest of the passage, is he's setting us up for the incredible news that that's no longer our condition. So I want to be clear about that, that if you have by grace through faith been saved and believed in Jesus, that's no longer a description of you. You have moved from death to life, but the reality is that the rest of our life is about living it out. The rest of our life is about figuring out the wrestle within. So what happens in a moment in our salvation has to be worked through the rest of our days. And so what we see is that we need to examine our hearts because we realize that if we've been following Jesus for 5 minutes or 50 years, we are all trying to figure this out. We're all trying to figure out why we react the way we react to other people. We're all trying to figure out why situations cause us to feel the things that we feel. We're all trying to figure out why it is we do that thing that we do over and over again, even though we always come up feeling empty and alone. And this doesn't go away. And so whether you are feeling like, yes, I'm good, I know the condition of my heart, and it's aligning with Jesus, or whether you feel like, I don't even know what you're talking about, we're going to look at exactly how to do this morning. But the flip side of starting out of alignment with God is the good news that God has always been trying to get our hearts in alignment with His. So if we understand and we read through the full narrative of Scripture and we understand it as this grand story, this thing that we're still participating in, then we would see that God has always been trying to get our heart into alignment with His. And so what we see in the conversations with the Pharisees and Jesus is that we have sin in our heart, that we all live out this battle where we seek our will above God's. But what we also see in the full narrative of Scripture is that God is trying to show us what His will is. And He's good to do that. And so just for a moment, I want to say this. Examining our hearts is for a greater purpose than behavior modification alone. Let me say that again. Examining our hearts is for a greater purpose than behavior modification alone. And I'll tell you what I think that purpose is. What you'll notice in the text is Jesus doesn't just say, your heart's full of evil, so act right. Get it together. Figure it out. His emphasis on the heart and His emphasis on the inner life are a reminder to us that God's much more interested in what's going on in our heart, but God's also committed to teaching us His ways. It's very clear that He says, you have a tradition you uphold, but you lack understanding of the heart of God. But Jesus never leaves us there. He helps us to understand the heart of God. And so what we have to see is that if our aim is more than behavior modification, if our aim is to settle or try to find some comfort in this battle within, then we have to figure out what is God's heart. And so there's a two-part process to this. And the first is we need to examine the heart of God in Scripture. So Scripture can be a powerful tool to examine God's heart. And particularly, I want to say this, the full narrative of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Law, the Prophets, the Psalms, the Gospels, all of it, the Epistles, the Letters, all of it. We can't just sort of pick and choose the parts we want to use to examine our hearts. It won't work out correctly. So this morning, something I don't normally do, but I want to bring in two of the other readings you've already heard from the lectionary because I want to show you how this full narrative works together. So the first is the Old Testament reading. What we see in the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy this morning is that God intends to use the law to instruct us in wisdom and discernment of His ways. Right? So in other words, God is from the beginning working to say, my people, I'm going to teach you how to live this out. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to give you discernment. I'm going to give you wisdom. And in chapter 4:1-2, it says, now listen to the statutes and the rules I'm teaching you and do them so you can live. And go take possession of the land that God is giving you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. You may keep the commandments from the Lord God that I command you. Keep them and do them. That will be your understanding and your wisdom. In other words, I'm telling you what to do so that you can understand my heart. I want you to understand my heart. And then people are going to say about you, how great a nation is this, that these people have wisdom and understanding, and how great a nation is this, that their Lord is near to them. He's willing to share with them and tell them about Himself. That's great news. And so the picture I want to paint here is God giving us this beautiful treasure in the Bible. Scriptures reveals to us over and over again the very heart of our Father. And that is good news. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about it through the lens of parenting. And so if you're not a parent, you were probably once a child, so you'll still be able to go here with me, but oftentimes when I'm giving a rule or a boundary to my children, they want to know why. And I get really annoyed by the question why, and so often it's because I said so, just do it, right? But God is not like that, so we can draw a contrast here, that God is a very good and loving Father, that He says, here is the law, and here is exactly why, and I'm going to continue to reveal my heart to you over and over again. And when you get out of alignment, I'm going to bring you into correction, because I want you to understand my heart. And I want to know you, and I want your heart to be like my heart. And I'm committed to that. And then we know in the New Testament that God is so committed to that, that He sends us Jesus. He sends us His Son, God in a body, to live it out so we can see it. And so when Jesus says, I'm the fulfillment of all the law, we can look at Him and say, Lord, what is it You would have us do to get our hearts in alignment with Your heart? And if we're to commit to this careful examination of Scripture, of our own hearts with Scripture, then we have to explore the heart of God. We have to be willing to look at our heart and say, my will and your will are different. But I want to come in alignment, and I have an opportunity in your word to know what your will is and to come in to alignment. So that's the second part of this process, is that Scripture can actually align our hearts to the heart of God. If we recognize and acknowledge that our heart and God's heart don't start in alignment, and we commit ourselves to the examination of both our heart and God's heart, then the question becomes, how do we get them in alignment? And the James passage this morning, so that's the other passage from the lectionary, gives us a window into that. James indicates that we've got to do what God says. That is the expression of our hearts coming into alignment. So James 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, then he's like a person who looks in the mirror, but then walks away and forgets what they look like. But one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So if anyone thinks they're religious and they don't bridle their tongue, they deceive their heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphan and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So the point that's being made here by me and by James is one that we have to make to our own hearts. We have to, in the examination of our hearts, make this point. It is great to read and know Scripture, but to change the condition of our hearts, to bring our lives into alignment with the heart of God, we have to actually do what the Scripture says to do. In other words, our practice of religion, what we think we understand God wants us to do, may not be what He wants us to do, so we have to examine that and then live out a life that demonstrates that we've understood the heart of God. Religion that's pure and undefiled before God is this: visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep yourself unstained from the world. That's a picture of what will happen if our hearts and God's hearts come into alignment. And I happen to think that is a very beautiful picture of a church gloriously pursuing the things that God asks us to do. And it would be worthy of our time to examine our hearts so that we can do this. And so how do we do it? Well, we need rhythms of prayer and Scripture reading that lead to examination above confirmation. Examination above confirmation. We don't need rhythms of Scripture reading that cherry pick through to figure out what it is we want to hear from God that particular day. We don't need Scripture rhythms that affirm our biases or the ugly positions of our heart and turn us towards a religion of our own. We need rhythms of Scripture that are going to lead us to an examination and not a confirmation. We need rhythms of Scripture reading that will give us time not only to learn more about the heart of God, but convict us about the condition of our hearts and show us where we're seeking our own will above God's. We need rhythms of Scripture that will begin to reorient us and anchor us to the truth of who God is and not just what we think He is. We need rhythms of Scripture that will reorient us to God's desire to see earth become more like heaven and not to see earth become more like we want it to look, so that it's set up for us to succeed. And that is going to be challenging, friends, and simply put, it won't happen by itself. So if you've been tracking with our Rule of Life class, then the suggestions I'll make here will be redundant, but redundancy sometimes is the Holy Spirit's reminder that we need to engage in these processes. And so I'm going to share just two rhythms of Scripture reading that I think would be really helpful for us as an individual and community to examine our hearts. And so these two, and they each have their own slides, so if you don't, they'll be here. The Daily Office and the Daily Lectionary Readings. And I talked about the Daily Office in my last sermon, so this is like a recap 2.0. But the Daily Office is essentially a written time. It's already kind of formed out of prayer, stillness, Scripture, And you can do this at four different times throughout the day. So there's a morning office, a noon office, an early evening office, and a late evening office. And I believe this is just such a powerful rhythm to reorient ourselves to God. The website I put up there, if you go to that website, actually the daily office is all laid out for you, so you don't have to do any work. And this is why I think this is so important. When we choose to read Scripture in this way, when it's already laid out and there's a cohesive thread, right? So when you can start to see how the Deuteronomy passage and the James passage and the Mark passage all work together, it begins to change the way that we read Scripture. It changes the way we understand the story. So it would be like reading a book and like only reading the last chapter. Being like, oh, that was really fun. But if you didn't read the tension and the conflict and all the other part leading up to that, it doesn't resolve in the same way. And so this is a way to read Scripture that can do that. And it can be extremely helpful in the life of the Jesus follower. So rather than just saying like, okay, I'm going to wake up in the morning, toss my Bible out on the table, and wherever it opens up, that's where I'm going to go today. This can kind of anchor you on a path towards understanding Scripture better. And I'll give you an example from my own life. A few mornings ago, maybe last week, I woke up and just was kind of feeling anxious. Just had a lot of thoughts in my heart and mind, work-related things. And the psalm in the daily office that morning was Psalm 131. And so as I have not considered things too high for myself, but I've calmed and quieted my soul. And in that moment, all I could do was just smile with joy at the gift that the Scripture had given me that morning, that I didn't have to go looking for it, that the Holy Spirit was right there with me in that moment. And this kind of rhythm can lead to examination because my anxiety had to come face to face with the truth that there are things above my pay grade that God has under control. And so this can be a powerful resource. The daily lectionary readings, and these two sort of work together. So the daily lectionary readings are actually in the daily office. So if you went through the daily office, you would read the daily lectionary readings. But these are what we send you in your weekly emails. And so this is a 3-year Bible reading plan daily. And that's how we choose our text for Sunday morning as well. And so if you've been around here a little while and heard us preaching, you might have heard us mention that we do this to allow God's Word to come to us and not us go to God's Word, right? So we're not looking and trying to figure out what do we need to do in this season. We're sort of letting the Word come to us and saying, God, what do you have in us? Help us examine ourselves. Help us examine our church so that we might look more like your Son. But if you've, my encouragement to you that is this. If you don't have a plan for Scripture reading, this is a really good plan. It is really well paced. You could read all of the daily lectionary readings in 15 to 20 minutes. You could split them up and give a few minutes to each one at each times of the day. But it's very helpful in reorienting you to the heart of God and the full narrative of Scripture. The other thing that's neat about this is if we all start to read the daily lectionary, then we're reading God's Word in community and we can examine our hearts together, right? So we can look at a text and be like, wow, when Jesus said that thing, it really rubbed me this way. And someone else might be able to say, yeah, this particular passage revealed this in my heart. And this can be a powerful tool for discipleship and conversation around God's Word so that it can become an examiner of our lives. And so I want to say this. These rhythms could easily just become practices or habits or checkbox things. But what they're meant to do is address our posture. They're meant to address the way we view Scripture. They're meant to address the way we view Scripture. And so these are three questions that in my time preparing this sermon, I felt like if we were to ask these, then the Holy Spirit might do some things in our life to really reorient us towards Scripture. And so these three questions, do I view time in Scripture as necessary? Do I view it as necessary? And these are questions that I would really encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit and yourself these questions. This is a good place to start in examining the heart. Do I view time in the Scripture as valuable? Do I value this in my life? Is my life coming into alignment with God's heart and will for me? And do I view time in Scripture as corrective? Right? So if it's an examination and not a confirmation, then there has to be an element of this where we are willing to allow the Word of God to correct us where we have gone astray, where we have realized, my heart's not in alignment with yours on this, God, but I want to get in alignment. We have to view the scripture as corrective in order to do that. So the way we answer these questions is going to be critical to our ability to examine our hearts. It's going to be critical to the way we examine God's heart, and it's going to be critical to then the way we live out our lives, which is where we started. And so I want to wind down here by saying this. You can hear a sermon like this one and feel like, okay, that's a lot, right? Or I don't really want to go to some of those places in my heart. Or you can read the passage and be like, oh, theft, murder, I'm fine. Good, I've never done those things. But I would really encourage you that this is possible. And it is true that our hearts don't begin in alignment with God's, but we can get in alignment to God. It's possible with the help of the Holy Spirit to live out a life of careful examination of our inward and outward life. With the Holy Spirit, with the Scripture as our guide, we can realign our wills to the will of God. And sometimes that feels like a Herculean task. And other times it feels like just a little adjustment here and there. And I might be able to get this rhythm thing going. I might be able to delight in God in this way. But the wrestle within is one that you can win. You can win the wrestle within. So I want to do something a little different to close this sermon. Each week we've been beginning our Rule of Life class with a prayer of self-dedication. And it comes from the Book of Common Prayer, and I'll put it up. As I was thinking about this sermon, this is such a good summation of what I've been talking about this morning. And so if you missed everything else, maybe you'll just hear the prayer and that'll be fruitful for you. But this will take self-dedication. And Lord willing, as we commit to it, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will help us to get into alignment with His will. And so, different than normal, I'm just going to pray this over you. And if you want to pray it with me, you are welcome to, if the Spirit leads you that way. But I will pray this, and that will be the end of the sermon. So, Almighty and Eternal God, so draw our hearts to You. So guide our minds. So fill our imaginations. So control our wills that we may be wholly Yours, utterly dedicated unto You. And then use us, we pray, as You will, and always to Your glory and the welfare of Your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.